You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live. Next, featuring intimate and in-depth interviews with Black Hollywood's next edition of stars and influencers. Black Hollywood Live. Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live, next.
What's up? It's the realest show right here on Black Hollywood Live. I'm your host, Megan Thomas. You can hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, and that Twitter at Meg Scoop. Like scoop of ice cream.
I should have added on that. I should have added on Meg Scoop. Hey guys, I'm Courtney Tezano. You guys can keep in touch with me at Tezanos on Twitter and Instagram. Welcome to our show.
And make sure you use the hashtag BHL next. If you have any questions or if you have any comments, because we'd love to hear what you have to say. And as always, on next, we have a fantastic guest. Okay, honey, he's fine. That's all I got to say. Megan. I don't even think there's any other introduction. He's fine, period. Give it up for Held House Moore.
All right. Hand
clap. You've seen him on Single Ladies on Centric every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. What's up, House?
What's up? How y'all love ladies doing?
Good. Wait,
see, you...
What
is so this?
I changed the voice.
You just had a, right. That's your sexy
that's
voice.
Smooth.
That's your midnight
voice.
Well, how did you get the name House anyway?
It was just like a family, you know, friend nickname because, you know, my name is Harold and it kind of didn't fit, but I used to play sports. And so, like, all the dudes were like, yo, he's strong as a house. So he taking it to the house. I played basketball. I played football. So it was like an embracing term for how good I was
right.
at sports
okay.
and how dominant because I used to house dudes.
Wow, that's what it is.
That's a little house right there. That's a little house. Then I kind of got big, but house kind of stuff.
Okay.
Man.
House. Because I was like, what does that stand for?
Definitely.
Does anyone call you Harry?
You know, there's one chick who's always trying to be cute. Like, that ain't funny. She's like, I'm going to call you Harry. I'm like, I ain't going
to
call you nothing.
She's trying to be different. I'm not going to call you at all.
Yeah, goodbye.
I love it. Okay, let's get into some casting.
So don't call me Harry.
Yes, don't call me Harry. Don't call him. Does anyone call you Harold? Like your mom?
My mom, they call me H, House, Boy.
Yeah, Boy. We all have the nicknames, yeah.
I don't know. I think only time they call me Harold is when they, you know, either sending me a check or coming for a check.
Amen. Yeah, I like that now. All right, so let's get into some casting news. What's up in casting? So Ice-T, the legendary rapper, and his big booty wife, Coco. Hey, girl.
Hi.
They are going to have a talk show, a daytime talk show that's going to air August 3rd on Fox.
Wow.
Now, this is different because they're going to have some hot topics, interviews. They're going to have the banter. And if you know, they had their own reality show that showcased their life. Mm-hmm. So now they're transitioning into daytime talk. Would you watch it?
I'm going to let you go first before I say anything.
I think, you know, knowing your target audience, I mean, that's the first part of television. And looking at them, you know, they mature. They obviously been around and, you know, mature and seasoned, you know, model and definitely actor and artist and musician. So, I mean, they have a possible audience. So, me personally, I probably watch it for, you know, episodes. I see know everybody. So, you kind of got, he's one of the, you know, legendary influence of just hip hop and just that, you know, whole culture of gangster rap and just, you know, transitioning, was one of the forefathers of transition from music into television and film. So, you know, just out of respect, I probably watch an episode or two. I mean, Coco thick, so.
Oh! I thought that was the main reason that she
that's a real reason. Huh?
Right.
You have a nice flowery and Coco thick.
What is that?
Yeah. That'll definitely get people going. I think I'll watch it the first couple episodes just to see how it goes.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I wasn't into the reality TV, but I'd love to see how they take on the new platform.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. So that's August 3rd on Fox. Be sure to check them out, support them. And also in casting news, rapper.
And they got to have me on there.
Oh, yeah.
Quick plug.
If they ain't got me on there, I ain't watching it.
So. Even though Coco thick?
I mean, she ain't that thick. Money first, MOB.
The rapper The Game is set to be on a reality show on VH1 to find love. The show is called She Got Game and it's slated to air this summer. And his celebrity friends are going to be finding some ladies for him.
No.
No, I don't know if I'm tuning into this one. I can't. Is it like another For the Love of Ray J? Like, I just can't.
For the Love of the Game.
I know, but I'm saying it's similar to, like, For the Love of Ray J. Why does everybody feel like they have to go on a show to find love?
Would you go on a TV show to find love, House?
It's funny because I was actually talking to some producers about going on, like, 10 dates nationwide, and it was something similar.
And you would agree to it?
I mean, yeah, if you're trying to find the right one, this isn't, you got to think, like, now we live in a society where everything is so accessible because of, you know, social media. So, you know, now your wife might just be on the other end of the phone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can just, like, oh, my God, my wife just DM'd me. You know what I'm saying? So it's just different. You don't have to walk to the grocery store no more. Now you can date, you know, chicks in Ireland and Africa, Korea, and, you know. Actually, I had a friend who met a girl, like, in the Middle East. Somewhere, I don't even know how they met, but they married now and, you know, got a kid. It's like, how you fall in love with a chick? And, you know.
You just got like 50,000 DMs right now.
Right.
DM me.
You might be on that date with me, huh?
Hey,
oh, my goodness.
Okay, so if you go on a reality show to find love, do you honestly feel like you can find love, or is it kind of like, let me just go see what's out there? I don't really know if it's going to be.
Either way, it's a come up because you got chicks signing up and participating in the whole process, and they're willing when they get there. So as a man, it can't get any easier. They got 12, 15 lined up. Let me choose. So psychologically put yourself in a position to be chosen, go through this process with other women, it makes the, you know, opposite, whether it's a male or female, look good. So from that perspective, it's good. And then too, either way it go, it's still a trigger for the right person, because some woman or some man, who depending on whatever the sex is or gender, is going to go, you know what, I like those qualities about him, and then it's going to open the door. So it's still an opportunity.
Look at you, you figured it all out, huh?
Yeah. He did.
I read books.
All right.
I read audio books.
So yes, that's look at you, smart man.
Oh my god!
So make sure you watch House's dating show whenever it comes on.
Right.
You might be a participant. Hit him up on Twitter.
Be different though, you know what I'm saying? Because you know I'm somewhat like of a hopeless romantic. Like, you know, like I'm that dude. I'm more of a homebody. That's why I rarely do, you know, interviews and a lot of social media. I'd rather be at home with my family and friends over barbecuing, playing Taboo, doing karaoke.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like, I don't do this for the fame. I do it because I love it. And, you know, sometimes that's my biggest conflict with even this industry is because, you know, I don't like being all out like that.
Mm-hmm. So what would be the perfect setting to find the one if you could set that up?
I don't think it is. I think it happens when it happens. The most valuable thing you have in life is time. So if you put yourself in a position to always be in a position for opportunity to present itself, then you give that time or that situation opportunity to, you know, prosper or flourish.
What's the worst thing a woman can do?
Call me Harry. the worst, you got to have a chill, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and be confident. And for me, I love a woman with ambition. Like, to me, I'm one of those dudes to where, you know, even on my exes, it's hard to let me go because I encourage you to be the best you. There's nothing more attractive than us coming home talking about a successful day or overcoming stuff together.
Right.
And, you know, they go, you know, it's hard for successful women to find a good man. No, it ain't. You just dealing with insecure dudes.
You better preach
that. All right, we go. End on that note.
Preach that. Yes. So make sure you watch The Game's new reality show for love. It's called She Got Game on VH1.
Game, don't beat nobody up on the show.
Please.
Fighting everybody. Shout out to the game, man.
Don't be fighting no girls on that show. Okay.
Please.
What's up with the new music?
Okay, so the fresh beats. I've been waiting for this. I love JoJo, but it's been like 9 years since she's had anything. It was a little too late. And then we had Leave when she was like 13 years old. Now she's 24.
Wow.
It's been that long. That's crazy. Okay. So now she has a new song called Far From Heaven. It's the soulful ballad. Let's go ahead and listen to it.
Here we go.
If you listen to the whole song, she blows
she
in this thing. She blows in it. That was a little snippet, but she's bringing it. I've been waiting for her to come back.
Yeah, she has an amazing voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to see her come back with this third album. So we're waiting for a release date, but that's her first little snippet.
All right, JoJo, Far From Heaven. I'm ready for it. All right, so let's talk about you, House.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into you. Let's go back to your beginning, your roots.
Right. Okay. So you were raised in Detroit.
Yes.
D-Town.
Yeah, D-Town. Okay, so did you ever imagine yourself being in the entertainment industry, being from Detroit?
I didn't. It's not one of those things that, you know, they encourage when you grow up in the, you know, inner city. It's one of those things to where it seems like a fairy tale. Like, those people who do that, they were, you know, bred for that or given or, you know, it just seemed like another world. You know, even when as I progressed in it, I still was like, I'm not really doing this. But I'm such a competitive and, competitive person. I have, like, an enormous amount of drive to be the best. So, you know, after it happened and after I acknowledged it and said this is what I want to do, then it was, you know, full steam ahead.
Right. And then what other careers did you have in mind since you said that wasn't really pushed in Detroit?
I thought I was going to go pro in basketball.
Okay.
You know, basketball is my first love, my first passion. You know, it got me in a position that I was in. It got me out of a lot of trouble. So, you know, initially I thought I was going to be in the NBA or something like that.
Okay, so college basketball or basketball in general, what did you learn from playing sports that you got the chance to transfer over into acting, modeling, hosting?
I honestly, and this is, you know, probably sad to say, but it's the truth. I learned, and this was the hardest lesson, you know, with me having the ability that I had to play basketball, and anybody who knows me knows they can say he can go. It was going to a black school. HBCU, I felt like limited my chance because you got to have people in a position of power that are ready to grow.
Right.
And at the time I went to Alabama State a couple years ago, they wasn't in that position. And I was I'm a person that thinks ahead, and I was thinking, well, if we have all these top black athletes start going to these HBCUs, and a lot of these schools, that's how they build their brand. You look at, you know, I watched the 30 for 30 on Florida.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's how they build their program, because they become number one. So once you get that national attention, enrollment increases, money increases, and then the university grows. So I was thinking, like, look, if all of us start going to, you know, these HBCUs, we can beat the Dukes, the North Carolinas, and be on that level. But the people in power have to be on that same level and have that same expectation for their students and athletes.
Why did you pick Alabama State, by the way?
Because I went to Alabama. And I was going to walk
University
on.
Like
University
of Alabama?
Yeah. I was going to walk on there. I talked to the coach and everything was set up. And I got there and I felt like a nigga. So I think I hopped on the Greyhound that next day to Alabama State. I went to the closest black college.
You know what? And I want to say this. I don't know what it is about Alabama. I'm from Kentucky. But I love Alabama and the schools in Alabama. Because when I went to college, I went to the University of Kentucky. We would go down to Alabama for homecoming. Mm-hmm. Alabama State plays
A&M.
A&M for the Magic City Classic. Like, that probably was one of the best times of my life. And I really was like, why did I roll down to Alabama, though? Yeah. Why don't I roll to Alabama to party? That's so sad.
It's fun, though. Like, culturally, you know, from a cultural standpoint, you know, being around, and then I was so diverse. I mean, Alabama State is, grew tremendously. They have one of the top forensic science programs in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
They're heading into law. The state has taken over the university. So, I mean, even now you go to the campuses and it's a whole other place. But just the culture of it. You know, it feels like, you know, one of those old school movies, like a School Days or Back in the Day. And you can just feel that culture. And I think, you know, I think I was kind of like, you know, as I graduated, like, I got to see the last glimpse of that era. You know what I mean? Because, like, you know, the Qs tried to get me to, you know, be a Q, and they was like eating chicken bone. Like, y'all
gonna
be eating? Yo, they were real.
I'm talking about my brothers. Like,
yeah. Right. I'm like,
yeah, the Qs. And if I'd have joined anything, it would have been the Qs, because I feel like they were, you know, the closest to my personality.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm a Delta.
Shout out to the Delta. Shout out to all the frats and sororities.
Yeah,
definitely. What would somebody be shocked to hear about you from high school or from going to Alabama State University?
What? I think this shocked people.
You think that was?
Because everybody, I was mean. I was a mean. It wasn't that. The way we grew up in Detroit, you don't look at people unless you're ready to get it popping. You're not encouraged to be super sociable and, you know, outspoken. You just put your head down and do what you got to do, go where you got to go, and, you know, man up. And so when you have, you know, those people, like, I had, like, a lot of street influences, and they just did what they had to do. It wasn't like, yo, blah, 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 be cute, be funny, be charming. It was like, nah, you know, that was a cornball.
You're definitely a Detroit dude.
Yeah.
Where did you go to high school, by the way?
Detroit Central High School. Shout out to the Trailblazers.
Yeah.
We just had a little alumni game. Antonio Gates, one of my partners.
Okay.
You know, went to Central. You know, Dwight Smith played with Tampa Bay. So them my my classmates and peers. So yeah,
I think people rip high school way harder than college sometimes. It's like, oh, that's home.
Yeah, it is different because that's when you grow into you in high school. Right. You know what I mean? You kind of say, you know what, this is who I am. In college, you still, then you in college, you get to college and like, this ain't who I thought I was.
Right. Then you find out a completely different person.
Right. Yeah.
So who did you look up to growing up? Like, who were your role models?
God,
that's it.
God, that's who I looked up to.
No one else?
I was competitive. Like, I felt like if they can do it, I can do it. There was nobody. You know, if I saw him, I would, you know, like, I would play basketball, and I'll play basketball from 8, 9 at night to 8, 9 the next morning. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and so, and my mentality was, if they're still playing in California,
right,
I need to still be practicing. If they still playing in Korea, right, I still need to be practicing. So when we met up and, you know, lock horns, we're going to see who the best is. So, you know, and I didn't grow up wanting to act. So it was just from a basketball standpoint. So, you know, I grew up in Detroit. So it was always, you know, Isaiah Thomas, you know, the Bad Boys. And, you know, it wasn't until I really, you know, as I got older, I respected Michael Jordan because, you know, Detroit people hate it.
Chicago.
You know, Chicago, the Indianas, the New York. And, you know, it was a sense of pride. And, you know, so, and then after I got older as a man, I respected the accomplishments.
Okay. What position did you play, by the way?
Point guard. But I look like I should be playing, you know, DB or something.
No, you look like, right. Yeah. You should be playing a linebacker or something.
I did play basketball.
You played basketball and you played football?
Yeah.
Okay,
I probably could have went pro in football, though.
Okay, what position?
I played corner, DB, receiver. I mean, I had hands because I was, you know, point guard.
You know, I had hands.
Look at
you. Here you go. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Y'all look crazy. So, outside of that, you really give back a lot to, like, inner city youth through, like, all of your philanthropy. Mm-hmm. What sparked that, the need to be a life coach and things like that?
Well, for me, I was one of those kids that, like, man, he bad. His ass is bad. You know what I mean? But I was bad with a purpose.
Right.
Nobody was there to guide me. So, you know, a lot of times, like, I open doors and I'm respectful and people are like, your mom and dad must be proud. I'd be like, if you see him, tell him. You know what I'm saying? Because my dad wasn't in my life. And me and my mom got a soul-soul relationship. So it was kind of, it's weird because I felt like life raised me. I don't even know how I got, you know, the manners. Because I should be, like, really,
really
rash. Because my natural personality for, like, dominance and just, you know, like a little young lion. Like, people say that, but, yeah, I'm about that life.
Wait, what made you become a behavioral therapist though, for low-income families?
Because that's what it was. No one took the time. Like, we all talk about problems. Show me a solution. Like, I've always said, like, it's easy to criticize, but what are you going to do to make a difference? And I've always been, I think I put this on my Instagram, I can't speak louder than my actions.
Right.
I can't tell you what I'm going to do more than I can show you. And that's how it's supposed to be as a man. So, you young dudes, let your actions speak. Like, blah, 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 shut up.
Okay, so is it only for young dudes that you mentor?
I talk to men. Okay. I talk to women and men. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, we have a lot of, you know, beautiful, smart, educated, successful women that make a conscious effort to give back more so than the men.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's one of, even with Centric, you know, they emphasize, you know, black women television for black women, but that's ostracizing and it's sexualization because now you just make it seem like you don't want male audience, which for me is backwards because viewership is what makes the network evolve.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, come on, Centric.
Shout out to Centric.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so how did you make the transition from becoming a behavioral therapist all the way to becoming an actor?
Money. It's funny because a high school friend of mine, I saw her at like Lenox Mall. And so she's like, how's them having to get together? Come through. Shouts out to Karen. And she took a photo and she placed it on her refrigerator. And the talent scouts for Elite Models was one of her friends. And she's like, your boy need to come down here. You know, he got a good look. And I was like, I ain't going on no model agency. And at this time, then I moved to Atlanta after I graduated and I saw her again. She's like, did you ever call? I was like, nah. She's like, H. I had a homeboy just made six figures. At that time, I was a behavior therapist. I was working with kids, you know, ain't paying nothing. And she was like, he made like six figures. I'm like, he ain't make no six figures taking a picture. I'm like, taking a picture? A picture. She was like, yeah, he had a couple campaigns and they boo boo. Get that number. And so I called and it was just like,
what are all these noises?
It just started popping.
So, how did you go from doing modeling into acting then?
Well, like casting directors like Vanessa Williams, and I think it was a couple of music videos they shot in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you need to come to L.A. You kind of got it. And I was like, I don't know about all that. You know what I'm saying? And then I came and, you know, I tried it out, came for a couple months, and, you know, I stayed with a good friend of mine, Sean Kerrigan, who was like an older, you know, he's an experienced actor, you know, and so he kind of like, you know, I stayed with him and slept in his living room and, you know, and all the other stuff, and he was like, yo, just give it a shot, and I did, and, you know, eventually it kind of got, you know, weird because I started working. So mm-hmm. I like moved out. I was like, yo, dog, I got enough money to get my own bedroom. You know, I can't have my lady crashing on the couch. You know, she likes to sleep naked. You know.
Oh my god!
And I like for her to sleep naked. Yes, I do.
Sunny
and got to go. So I moved out, and then you know, I've always had the work ethic. You know what I mean? Coming from the Midwest, and you know, just being a blue collar type dude, it just kind of happened. Like my first, I think, year or two, I probably burnt out like one or two computers, just self-submissions.
Right.
Like me and my boy Nason, we used to like walk around like drive around like six, seven different outfits in the car.
Right.
And like crash commercials, crash video. We crashed everything. Like, yo, I hear audition over on La Brea.
Oh, wow.
Shoot me the address. I'll be there in 10
right.
minutes.
Right.
He's like, yo, I got an audition. What time yours, man? Okay. And we would make a system, and uh-huh. we, you know, two, three, you know, I mean, some of my biggest auditions are like my Bud Light commercial was huge. Mm-hmm. It was like doing Super Bowl, was good money. That was his audition. You know what I mean? Then I did like stuff for, you know, Sony video games and stuff like that. That was his audition. And those were like two of my favorite jobs I'd ever had. Like just to play a basketball player on a video game. And like I said, I was just here. Mm-hmm. You know, I had just got here, so it was like happening. I was like, oh man, I'm doing it. You know what I mean? And so, you know, and I've had some, you know, some great learning experiences too, because I also had the possibility of having a show with George Clooney.
Yeah.
And this was right at the end of Entourage. Now I'm just here, and I didn't even understand that you made more money possibly as a star of your own TV show mm-hmm. versus being in a movie, because I booked a movie with Robert Englund. You know, who's Freddy Krueger? So I'm like, everybody like, yo, do the movie. You blow up for movies. It's a, you know, bigger audience. And so I had double booked. And so I was supposed to be on set for another show. So the casting director, who just gave me like two jobs just to build my resume up before I met George Clooney. So she was like, yo, I want you to do these jobs. And she called like my old agent. And I had told my new agent, like, yo, call, do the follow-up, and they never did it. So I was like, you know, F it. You know, I go with the person who riding for me, who working for me. So mm-hmm. I told the smaller agency, like, book it, do it. You know what I mean? But it conflicted with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't tell my manager, so I was on set trying to hurry up, and then I had, like, some green screen work, and they had, like, a green slime suit on. So it's like, well, we can't let you go until we do this scene. I'm like, well, I got to go. And it's like, well, we can't let you. We can't release you. And I didn't know what to do. And it was like, and I think probably one of the biggest, but, you know, one of the hardest lessons I learned, but one of the best, because you look at it now, HBO, George Clooney as your EP, and it's the follow-up to Entourage. It was the basketball version, and it was about basketball. And so, and I, you know, I screwed that up, and it kind of, like, messed up my relationship with the casting director. But, you know, it was a hard lesson. I mean, because that's the case. You look at it now, that was, like, almost seven years ago when mm-hmm. I first got here. I mean, I'd have been blew up a long time ago.
That's not what it's about, you. Yeah. This is your past.
No, George,
this
I'm sorry, that. Man. Call me.
Forgive me.
Wendy, girl, you know, it was a mistake. I was young. But, you know, it's stuff like that that, you know, and that also helped me realize that this industry isn't going anywhere.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like, so don't be thirsty.
Exactly. And in 2007, you starred along Adam Carolla and The Hammer.
Yeah.
What was it like to see yourself on a big screen?
That was crazy. That was my first, you know, major film. And, you know, Adam was great. It was one of those films that it was so focused on L.A. roots, you know, because mm-hmm. he grew up in L.A. and we saw in Burbank and the Valley, and I was learning so much, you know, just, you know, history of the city of, you know, L.A., but, you know, more so the Valley,
mm-hmm.
Burbank, you know, Glendale, we was all over there. And it was crazy. And it was one of those things that sparked me. And I knew, you know, ever since that day or prior to that, I wanted to be number one in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool. It was a great learning experience. But I've never really, as they say, stopped to smell the roses, because I felt like all these are stepping stones for a bigger right. purpose.
Definitely. So then in 2012, you starred in your first recurring regular series regular role on CBS's NYC 22.
Deuce.
You're a cop.
I was the po-po.
You was the po-po. How was it? What was it like to be?
I was a cool po-po, though.
You were?
I was a cool police.
And it only lasted one season, but what did you learn from that show?
It was great, man. I started opposite Lily Sobieski, Adam Goldberg, Terry Kenny, Stark Sands. We had Jane Rosenthal, who's, runs Tribeca, amazing EP. Robert De Niro, him and his wife, amazing couple, just great influences. Ken Zenzel, who was our showrunner. For me, I felt like I had got drafted to the NBA because every black actor in Hollywood went out for that role.
Uh-huh.
Like, you go to the callbacks, you're like, yo, that's our boy. You know, from, Lance to Eddie Winslow to Mario, everybody, everybody in there. You're like, I ain't gonna pick him. Like, he got a Jewish girlfriend, he gonna get it. You know what I'm saying? He's sleeping with the producer's cousin. I ain't gonna get it. So, when I got that, I kind of felt like, we had James Mangold, who's our director, and I remember him when we got to New York. He's like, set up a private meeting for me and him. He's like, yo, House, I just want you to do what you do. You got this role because of who you are and what you bring to the table, your natural charisma, your energy, your personality, your charm. And he said, I'm going to tell you like I told Sylvester, how I told, he got named all Brad Pitt and this and that. So he's saying all these names. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. And so he got the name drop and he's like, yo, you got it. And don't forget that you have it. He's like, there were a lot of people who came out, they're good actors, they said, but you have it, and that's special. So that was like one of those things I kind of took from that meeting. It was like, yo, I got it.
You have to have the it factor out here. So, yeah. For sure.
Shout out to me for having it.
Oh, that's the only
thing. You obviously have it because earlier this year you were cast in Lifetime's With This Ring, which was executive produced by Gabrielle Union. Jill Scott was in it, Eve, Regina Hall. What was it like to work with such a powerful cast of black women?
That was probably the funnest shoot I've ever had. We were at the museum together. Like, we shot, I think, my movie where I had, like, the big premiere in a movie theater. I mean, in a museum. So they took us up and we saw the art. And I just remember me, Jill, and Eve, and Regina just all being captured. And it was just great to be around, like, not just beautiful women, but intelligent, classy, and all of them conducted themselves. It's one of those things to where, like, we have so much ratchet TV. I think it'd be so refreshing if people saw these women on an everyday basis to see how, from their trailers to makeup to how they function outside of cut.
Right.
And it was just all of us in our chill clothes and just really getting to know. And, like, I made friends with, all of them, you know what I mean? So, our director, was great. It was just a great experience, man. And Regina Hall is by far the most talented woman I've ever worked with.
She is, yeah, she's
by far. She's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't get her just due. As far as her level of talent and her humbleness and her, like, love for acting and how much she gives back. Like, she called and I talked to her, like, 2 days ago. And she's like, well, House, you got to remember this. When you're this and you're this, you got to remember this, 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 and this. And we just got a, great, relationship, man. And I talked to, Jill, a couple weeks back, and she's, transitioned to her music thing. And, just making friends with, those caliber of people to where, they called it to, hey, you good, blah, 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 blah. And so that's what, means something to me.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, but it was a great experience. So shout out to all of them, Eve, Jill, Regina, and the whole cast. Jason George, who was great. We flew in together, and after we got the chance to talk, it was so refreshing. Because the thing that I do when I get on set is I let them all know I respect them and what they've accomplished, and so I think that immediately drops the barriers off the side, our egos, because I'm there to learn.
Right.
And it was cool because, like, it'd be my take, and, like, all of them would be like,
oh, look at that.
House, you killed that dog. Appreciate it, baby. So they would sit there, and, a lot of times during all my scene, everybody was, like, watching, so it was cool. Oh, shout out to Deion Sanders, too, man.
He's
definitely in it. Tracy Emmons.
Bizarre,
AP, Sheila Duckworth. I think one of the coolest experiences that I had, and I'm just rambling, but I saw Deion. Like, he was just chilling. He was like, yo, my man, yo, blah, 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 blah. And I'm looking like, what is he doing? This nigga don't know me. Why is he doing this? What is he doing? He was like, yo, man, you killed. I'm like, oh, man, Deion Sanders fake, too? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm thinking. Prime time. he's like, yo, you killed single ladies. And I was like, my man, Terrence. And when he said it, I was like, oh.
He watches it.
Mm-hmm. He got the, you know, talking about episodes and this scene and that scene, how him and Tracy, even when they saw my audition tape, they was like, yo, he got it. It's something about him. He different. He moved different. His energy. And I think, and then after that, we talked. I was like, being cool. Talked about life, fatherhood. Mm-hmm. He extended himself. He was like, let me, I almost went to my Denzel. He was like, House, do Denzel and Will and them reach back? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you're obviously up next. So, you know, in football, when we see like a young stud, we contact them. We tell them, right. This is how you move. This is how you do this. Hmm. I was like, no, it ain't him. Like, hey, man, what the
fuck? Yeah,
so I should have played football. They give back. But that was like one of the coolest experiences. And I got, as soon as we left, he had to go shoot and I had to go get ready. I was like, yo, dog. Dion watched me on Single Ladies. Dog, he told me, I felt like I had got it. It was like winning an award, man, with somebody mm-hmm. you idolize and grow up are a fan of what you do. So, you know, mm-hmm. and I've had those, you know, different encounters where people go, yo, everybody loved Terrence, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And it was just one of those good things, man. That was probably one of the most rewarding feelings that I had to, like, meet somebody. Like, I done met, you know, Jim Brown and, you know, a lot of people. But when somebody, and he's an athlete, and I'm an athlete, right. You know what I mean? Yeah. In a high level, yeah, one of the best to ever do it. And come up to me like, yo, you killed that. Yeah. And I was like, yo, he's like, you killed that.
That's respect.
So shout out to Dion.
So let's talk about you being Terrence Franks on Single Ladies, which is now on Centric. It used to be on VH1. Mm-hmm. What has the transition been like with the new cast members and being on Centric?
The cast, cool. The transition, yeah.
Is there like a big difference?
It's a huge difference.
What's the difference?
Money.
Okay.
And, you know, people say it's not about money, but look, people, this is why we have to live.
Right.
And this is what, I don't do it for the fame, but I definitely do it for the fortune. I know what the possibilities of me and my family being financially set for the rest of my life. So as a man, you can't say, oh, I don't want to do it for the money. I do it for the love.
Right.
You ain't got kids. Are you don't get gas.
Right.
You don't have a car. You don't have a house. And in our business, you are valued. You are recognized your success by your money. Like, you can't be a great actor making $20. Like, you know, oh, he made five. His value, his net worth is $20,000. He's the best actor to do it.
Mm.
That don't make sense. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's not where we are society-wise. So, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. So if you ain't making the money, you really ain't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. You working toward that. But ultimately, that's the ultimate goal. You know, I'm not a materialistic person, but I want to know that I'm good, my family good, and the people I care about are good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So going back, the transition was hard. When we shot in Toronto versus Atlanta, which is like my second home, shout out to ATL. And we had a whole new makeup. The dynamic of the show has changed.
Right.
And all those Raquel fans, let me address this because I hear it all the time.
I was like, where's Raquel?
Where's Raquel? Listen, let me just say this. Lisa Ray left the show on her last episode. She sent out a tweet, an IG, a message saying, you know, thank everybody on the cast for the amazing time, the producers, and the ride.
Right.
And she informed the viewers, her fans, her followers, and people who are fans of the show, I won't be coming back.
Hmm.
That's maturity.
Mm-hmm.
That's veteranship. So there's a way that you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? To where, you know, you don't have to leave people in open when you know you're not coming back. You know, you knew that before we start shooting. So I feel like by you having people that you know follow you, that's something you should have pride and take, you know, for their sake,
mm-hmm.
of informing them. Like, yo, I'm going to have a baby. Thanks, season ladies, for all the memories, mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. Just the way, that's class. So that's what I'm going to say about that. And, you know, and then to follow up that, if you're real fans of her, go to her page. You will see she's married with a baby. She's not about to be on Single Ladies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she had, and that's what, and, you know, shout out to her and her husband. I wish them nothing but the best. That's what that woman, that lady chose to do at this time. So she put her personal life and her priorities into having a family. You can't, how can you be mad at that? Like, that's every woman's dream, to meet a great husband, and she's living a fairy tale. Like, my man Anthony takes great care of her. He makes sure she's good, exposes her to different stuff and different opportunities and stuff like that. That's the ultimate dream, ain't it?
Especially yeah, it for is,
a woman to find a man who, you know, genuinely loves you and wants to start a family with you and going to do right by you, who's going to treat you like a queen. And if that woman felt like she has that, accept that. Like, don't be, Terrence and Raquel. That woman has a bigger, it's bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's happy. So that's what matters to me. You know what I'm saying? Let her be happy. But as far as the fans and the way she could have done that, I respect the way Lisa Rae did it.
Yeah. It could have been a little different. I know a lot of people are... I always see tweets every week. I see every week I see the tweets. They're like, where's Raquel?
First of all, let me say this, too. Y'all don't love Raquel like that. As soon as Stacey came, y'all was like, where's Stacey?
No loyalty. Y'all not being loyal. So...
So what's next in your career? What have you not accomplished yet that you would like to accomplish?
My goal is to be number one. Until I'm number one in the box office, just know I ain't sleeping good.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I'm up more than I'm asleep, and that's just my ultimate goal, to be number one. And I do have work to do. You know, I don't really watch myself, but sometimes I go back and critique. And it's crazy to say it's not all about the acting. Like, now you have to do the extras. But, you know, fortunately for me, I'm talented enough in other areas. I'm writing. I'm creating a lot of my own, you know, content, which gives me the power to be in control. And because I feel as though by me traveling as much as I do and going different places, I see a lot of stuff, a desire, a need for there to be influential African-American men.
Mm-hmm.
On camera and off camera. You know, like, you look at the Wills and the Denzel, they're doing their thing, but they're not, that's just not there. And they're more so old school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still under that umbrella where a man don't be doing all this extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like, Denzel, like your uncle. You know,
right,
and I was shooting the Hammer. He trained right before I did. We had the same Terry Claiborne at Pound for Pound. And Matt Damon sometimes trained. Matt was at 7, Denzel was at 8, and I was at 9. And so there was time where we got in the ring, like, your house, you got to quit jumping so much. Like, you real jump, you know, because I played basketball. I got in the ring, I'm jumping around. He's like, you're going to be real tired. Like, and so, you know, and then we, you know, went to a couple fights, and we topped it up after the fight. So, you know, and that was a great experience to sit around. I remember one time telling him, like, yo, you know, I had admired, you know, respected what he had done as far as his career, and I, you know, if I can have a career, you know, simply like, don't be like me, don't be better. I'm like, that's like telling Muhammad Ali you're gonna be better than him,
right?
But still respect. He's like, no, House, be better than him. I'm like, all right, man, you know, but that's just the man in him. Like, don't be me, be better.
Yeah.
And then too, you know, when you hear it so much, I knew as I progressed in my career, I knew how it felt. Like, you don't want to hear everybody idolize, because at some point, like, yo, dog, all right, man, just, you know, if it's two people
talented.
Tell you it's cool, but when a million, I can just have your career.
Right.
So I don't want to hear that shit no more.
Right.
So I respected it from that perspective after people started telling me they want to be like me.
Yeah. And then what upcoming projects can we look forward to? What do you have going on?
Like I said, I've really kind of put myself in a position to be in more control of my career.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of my peers and other actors, they sit around and they wait, you know, for projects. And I just don't like, as a man, waiting for people to, hey, pick me for a job.
Right.
Or, hey, I think I'm the best guy. Like, the people love me. The girls think I'm cute. I think I'd be great for this project. I just want to be in more creative control and more empowerment. And I'm a writer. And so that's a God-given talent that I have.
Create your own content.
Yeah, and I have, like, several projects that I'm sitting on. And I was like, you know what, House? You got all these projects. You got all this stuff you're sitting on, all this content that you know that I feel like people will embrace. And one of them is a character in the book about friends. It's kind of like Sex in the City. I shouldn't even say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's kind of like Sex in the City male version. You know, it's about this writer, and I play the writer, and his friendships, and, you know, his experiences, you know, maneuvering through the city, being professional, having friendships, and, you know, stuff like that. And I feel like it's kind of, you know, classy and it's sexy and, you know, stuff like that. Because, you know, even with the Kevin Hart, shout out to Kevin Hart, they put one of us in a position to the point to where we almost like, another Kevin Hart. Damn, Kevin on this too. You have to get it while you can. So, mm-hmm. I understand, Kev, you have to get it while you can.
Right.
But, why does it always have to be when it comes to Black America? It's only one of us that can be, at the top at the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I saw an interview with Chris Brown, and he was just saying how competitive. Like, it's good to be competitive, musically or however, but it shouldn't have to be where it's just only one of us at a time.
Right. No.
Like, that's just not, I get what he's saying, because we grow up to be competitive against each other. Mm-hmm. But on a bigger picture, and you look at all the urban influence television, and we killing, whether it's hip hop, Love and Hip Hop, Scandal, or How Do We Get Away with Murder.
Oh, yes,
I'm saying? Grey's Anatomy's killed for, 34 years now?
Come on, Sean.
So, shout out to Sean. If you want to take your show to the next level, hit me up.
Right? Add some sexy to it.
Definitely.
So let's switch gears and talk about your family. You have two sons, right?
Two boys.
So I looked at your Instagram page. Oh, they are
crazy.
So cute. The little one, especially doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh my God, he's something.
He just melted my heart. How old are your kids?
4 and 8.
Oh my God. So what do you feel like you have to teach them? What's like one of the most important lessons you have to teach your sons?
Be a man. Just be a man. I one thing that I always tell them is always think. Like they, I said, what's the thing you always do? They like think. Think, man, think. I'm like, if you think and you use good judgment, proper thought, a lot of common sense. I teach a little bit. A lot of times you put yourself in better positions than worse off positions. So, for me, I just want them to be, a young man. I want them to love life. I want them to stay golden as long as they can. I love the fact that my sons are little boys, but I also have big expectations for them. You know what I'm saying? So they know, like my oldest one, I got him at the gym. I thought they about to Peterson me because I snatched him up. He was playing basketball. He started whining. I had to snatch him up. Like, I'm whining no gym.
Stop.
You better not cry.
He's a
you
little
better
baby.
Not cry. No, my 8-year-old, he ain't no baby, no.
Oh, he's still a
girl,
little
boy. He's a boy. No, he's a crying. No. Too many women go,
my nephew is around the same age, and we do treat him the same way. I'm just saying, he's not 25. He's not older
but
than
that's
that
the
age.
Difference between a mother and a father.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
there's
the mama
roles,
job,
yeah.
Too. I mean, I have a great maternal instinct. Like, I'm probably more maternal than, my son and mom at times.
What?
Yeah, I do. I am. I do the cooking and, shout out, my son got a great mother. So, but if they follow their heart and they're the optimal person that they feel that God made them to be, I'm happy with whatever the outcome is.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want, I say follow your inner God, and that's in you.
Right.
So that's my biggest thing. And making sure they're not afraid to be men, not afraid to make mistakes and, to be gentlemen, to be respectful, to have pride. Like, that's a lost word in our community.
Right.
It's that's been substituted for ratchet.
Right.
Like, the thing now is to be ratchet. The more ratchet, like, even on Instagram, like, some of that stuff funny, but dudes with wigs, come on, like, just for 20 likes.
Right.
Come on, man. Because there's a big picture. At some point, you take that wig off, and they're like, oh, you that gay dude, weird-looking dude, or funny-looking dude, or, some other stuff to where you kind of, minimize. So, and that's the hard part, because it's like, man, they're going to make me do it. Like, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to have to do it for the Vine, because,
I ain't going to do it.
I ain't going to do it. You find yourself doing it, because I'm like, I need 20 more likes.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's
I
sad.
Hope we come out of that.
Is there something that you wouldn't do in a role? Like, if somebody offered you something, you'd be like, I draw the line. I can't do that.
It's going to be hard for me to play a slave.
Really?
Yeah.
Unless it was like Kunta Kinte, like the head slave.
It's still hard. Unless I'm killing somebody at the end.
Unless you get to be like Django out here.
I can play Nat Turner. That's probably who I can play. So, if y'all want to do Nat Turner movie, holler at me. And grow my nappy hair out. I don't know. That's my thing, too. I'm still like a man's man.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard, for me at time to do, had a bitch assness. It's kind of hard at times to where most dudes like, man, I don't care. I'll do it. How much they paying? I'd be like, yeah, some of this bigger than money, bro.
Right. It is. It
and so that's
is.
My, because I have values and standards and, integrity for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at your watch.
No.
I'm about to take her watch.
No, I didn't. I looked at
her watch. Are you flashing me?
I am. That's
she was making sure it was on.
No, that's right. It. I just, okay. No, so we have to get out of here. But before we do, where can all of your fans find you and your handsome self?
Thank you. I ain't got no fans.
Yes, you do.
Come on now.
They don't love me, man.
They love y'all.
I ain't gonna say I looked at some reality show and the dude had like five times many followers.
He bought those. It's really it's really cheap to buy them.
I'm about to buy some.
You don't can buy it.
When you see me with 5 million.
Yeah,
the
you bought those.
Know his face.
You bought those.
Let me tell you, though. Let me tell you
where
why.
Where can we find you?
HaroldHousemore.com on Instagram. Let me tell you, though, because I lost a job. He's like, well, we looked at your Instagram, and this person had 400,000 followers.
They bought those.
It's a thing. It's a thing now. They put that on applications.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
Shout out to the real IG follow buyers.
Where can we find you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook?
My Facebook is my name, Harold Housemore. My Instagram is my name, Harold Housemore. And my Twitter is Who's House, W-H-O-Z House. So, yeah, follow me, man, so I ain't got to buy none of y'all.
Right. Where can we find you?
You guys can stay in touch with me at Teznos on Twitter and Instagram. And tune into next every week.
Yes, and as also always, you can find me, Megan Thomas, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Meg Scoop, like scoop of ice cream. And make sure you catch our handsome guest, Mr. Harold Housemore, every Wednesday at 10 p.m. EST on Centric for Single Ladies.
It's my last season, so watch it.
Yeah, definitely. And you'll take your shirt off.
This is my last season, so no.
What? Just,
yeah, that's it. So watch it. I'm going to write a... I'm going to do a Raquel and just disappear.
You better not. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.